Lots of stuff happened. Many things. There were products. There was Tim Cook. He entered Apple campus cutting the glass, very Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
It took off the mask. He just wanted the M1 chip. Something tells me he could have probably got one a little easier than that. But how about Apple? But just before we get into, like, as a content company, ladies and gentlemen, terrifying stuff. And I mean that in a good way. If I'm a competitor, I'm like, oh, they're doing a Hollywood movie. Every time there's a transition over here. Every time they do an event over here.
Yeah. The drone footage never gets old. It's pretty cool.
But they took it to another place when he's climbing through the ventilation.
Yes.
And you're just sitting there like, you know, they're just talking about a product here. Or the guy who in the beginning with the AirTags and he's climbing into the couch. And you're like, he can just find it in the couch and like they prove their point. But no.
Well, Lou, it's the whole experience, you know?
I'm saying this crossover now, as far as a product company and a content company, you can't be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta, your content is as important as your product to make the pitch to people, to stand out in a crowded place where there's so much stuff to look at.
Yes, sir.
And that's what they have. Since COVID happened, since they started doing the virtual events, it is a thing they have nailed. It is a thing they have done that would make a live event seem dumbed down compared to what they've been pulling off in the virtual version. Far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about products. All right, Mo, hit me. What was the first thing? Was it AirTags? Oh, I talk about the credit card. I don't know. They said they're going to revolutionize credit scores and they think it's unfair. And now if you got your name on a credit card with somebody else, then you're going to earn better credit as well. All right, that's the card thing. That was quick. I know not many people care. Oh, the other one, what a weird moment this was right here with the purple phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they've ever done this before. I honestly can't remember. Maybe with product red, but they just, here at the spring event, they're like, you know, we got to do a purple phone. It's not a new phone. It's iPhone 12, but we got to do a purple phone. And they just added it to the pre-existing lineup of selections for iPhone 12. And they'll go, oh, you can order it. Now they do a quick little, nice little product video. I know Mo's jealous. He sees the thing spinning around. He's like, oh, why can't I pull it off? Once again, they got a few people over there at Apple on the content side. I mean, they spritzed it. Did you see them spritz the purple phone?
I like how they just called it purple. It's what it is. It's no crazy.
Yeah. You know, well, it is a light purple, though. I mean, it isn't sort of a violet, but yeah. I hear you, Will. No, I mean, I hear you.
It's straight up. It's cool.
I hear you. But it is odd. Like, I don't know. It sort of felt a little cash grabby, almost like merch. It's almost like Apple's merch. They're just like, well, you know, someone wants to rock the new color and we don't have to design an entirely new phone. I don't know. Was there an ink shortage last time around? I doubt it. But I don't care. Options is fine. People like colors.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, colors was a big part of the whole deal today. Color this, color that. Yeah. Many colors. In fact, when they got to the iMac part, which I'll get to in a moment, they had the aggressive song, Color Me Anything, Colors. I mean, it didn't sound like that.
Yeah.
It was a lot of color. It was a lot of color talk.
Nice rendition there.
Well, I don't remember. Well, I don't remember the lyrics.
Yeah.
I just remember they were talking about colors. All right, so they put out a purple iPhone 12. It's the same phone. It's just purple. All right, so that was just a little sidetrack. They talked about the tags, and this has been maybe one of the longest rumored products, these AirTags.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other products on the market that have done similar things, but you know how it goes with the ecosystem stuff. People are already doing all the Find My things.
Mm-hmm.
Find My this and that. And it's one of these situations where even though you have products like Tile and so forth in the past, I believe Samsung even has tracking devices. It's once Apple does it that the widespread adoption takes place, that all of a sudden everybody starts talking about these technologies. Now, Apple did it a slightly different way. They claim completely private, right? They say privacy this. The guy went into the couch, as I mentioned.
They're having fun with it.
He went into the couch because you want to sell a product. You want to sell a boatload of products, Will.
Yeah.
You best start thinking about what your video is going to look like.
Sure, yeah.
Because, of course, the premise here is that, oh, you lost in your couch, but what if you forgot it halfway across the world? Would it still be on your app? Guess what? It would be. Now, they show it off with a couple little keychains. I don't know if they want you to have it on the keychain. Hmm. They say you can clip it to your backpack. They say you can throw it in the purse. Guy like you, Willie, do that might be the way you go for it. Hmm. I don't know. Oh, maybe that's you right there. I mean, your luggage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we know these tracking devices exist. We know they can be useful. And now it just integrates into an ecosystem where it wasn't previously. And from the brand themselves, because a lot of people have their concerns over privacy with this. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. I believe it's a topic we've covered in the past. What if somebody just plants the little tracker on you? What if somebody wants to do you harm? I mean, you.
Who would?
I mean, you.
Me?
Yeah, you. Oh. And you remember how you were talking that you're going to be on a nice little bike with a basket and a backpack.
Sure.
And just commuting like
a cartoon character.
Just a friendly neighborhood meme.
Yeah.
On your way to work.
Rickety wheels?
Yeah, that's right. Because you couldn't get the other one figured out.
Yeah.
So you got a rusty bucket. But let's say that's you and somebody wants to do you harm. And they just chuck a little tag in there.
Uh-huh.
And they say, I'm going to track this man no matter where he goes. I don't care if he's a neighborhood meme.
Yeah.
That's my target right there. Mm-hmm. Well, this device, if the person happens to have an iPhone, it's going to tell them you got an unwanted tag. That ain't your tag. Been following you around. So this is a concern that people had, and Apple obviously thought about it, addressed it. Rotating identifiers and audible alerts. So it will give you a warning, hey, you're being tracked, Will.
If you have an iPhone.
See, that's the thing, isn't it? Mm. What do you mean, if you have an iPhone? There's no one else in the world, is there? Just ask Tim, doesn't everyone have an iPhone? Yeah, are there other products? Do other products exist?
I'm the only one using an Android.
In the world? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. If you ask Tim, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
He'd be like, well. We're like, well.
I'm sorry, Tim.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
Like, well, you know better there, Will. It's not how it sounds at all. All right, so it has that feature built in. Yes, if you have an iPhone, if you're a part of the thing, you can get a 4-pack of these for $100. Otherwise, they're $29. You can order them on Friday. And I'll tell you something crazy. We're going to have little tiny carbon lighter cases for these so they don't get too damaged. If you don't want to buy the Apple bulky leather thing, a tiny little carbon cover, believe it or not, on lighter cases. I don't think it's up there yet. I don't know, but you can go check for it. All right, so next up is Apple TV. Am I correct? That was the next.
Yep.
And I have an intimate relationship with Apple TV.
So you use it.
I use it. Yeah. I have it on my main TV at home. And I have been somewhat critical of it in the past here on this channel, particularly around the way in which you interface with it.
Yeah.
I don't find voice to be as effective as on certain Google products. However, I like certain AirPlay aspects and things about the Apple TV that have made it convenient on the main TV in my house. The other thing that's drove me absolute banana town in the past has been the remote, which I've probably covered it too many times here on the channel. They redid the remote!
Yes.
They redid it!
Good on them.
We knew they were going to do it. The rumor was they were going to do it. And they just got rid of that dumb, swipey top portion, nightmare fest, nightmare fuel. Ruined many a good time. You're just having a party. Somebody picks it up. They swipe. They tap. Party over.
This was the old
inadvertent.
No, this is the old.
That's the nightmare fuel. Yeah. And I love the simplicity of it, the look of it, but it just didn't work like that. It just didn't work how it was supposed to. Like, or not how it was supposed to. I mean, it did have a touchpad on it. It just, I don't know. It never translated to the TV.
Yeah, you said it was input. Too small.
Well, no, that's the secondary subject. But just the touchpad,
okay,
scrubbing along and trying to have precision with it and not trying to have unintended inputs. Now, I will say, you can figure it out as a person on Earth. But I got youngsters in my house. I got people in my house.
Sure.
And to watch everybody navigate the thing that isn't you and to see the lag factory as a consequence... trying to find a certain spot on the timeline or pause it by tapping the thing on the exact spot without it dislodging ever so slightly every time to a different spot in the show will be such a frustrating experience. I'm ranting and raving. Yes, I'm foaming at the mouth.
Let's talk about the
new. I'm foaming at the mouth over here, but obviously I had to hit you with the recap. The new is way better. It's almost like an iPod-style interface with a nice little wheel along the top. And I already watch. It's a jog wheel. It is so genius. Are you going to just scroll forever here, Will? I think you could have just stopped earlier.
I'm
up.
I'm telling you.
You're not going to get a full... There you go. Holy cow. The slowest scroll. That was a marathon scroll right there. It is a jog wheel. My God. I never knew how much I wanted a jog wheel.
It's also a universal remote, or it acts like it. It turns on your TV as well, right?
Yeah, the old one did that too.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, the old one did that too.
Then why did they...
Well, because they just want to remind you, Will. Oh. They just want to remind you.
Okay.
But now it's a jog wheel, so you scrub through what you're playing just by simply rolling around, and it reminds me of iPod in the olden days, because I'm 78 years old.
Yes.
And... there was not that it's for certain things like moving through a timeline. There's really not many better ways to do it with your thumb than a jog wheel. They changed the color of it. It's aluminum now. They moved the microphone over to the side. Get a nice dedicated power switch up there. Play, pause, volume is on there. It's still very basic. You're still going to lose it. I'm still going to have to put some case or wristband on it in my house. You people can probably deal with it.
And how do you charge it? Does it?
It previously was Lightning. I presume it's the same. I don't know. Did they put a Type-C? Press the tech specs so we can be certain here. It got a little taller too, so it should be a little bit easier to hang on to. Yeah, 5.4 inches tall. Let's see. Bluetooth 5.0, IR transmitter. That's for a TV as well. Microphone, of course. USB to computer. Or power adapter sold separately. I'm going to presume it's still Lightning. USB-C would be nice. I'm going to presume it's still Lightning. Let's talk a little bit more about Apple TV, though, because it's not just about the remote. 4K, couple pixels, HDR is in there as well. And they put out a nifty, and that's the right word for it, a nifty little color calibrator straight from your phone. Oh, how are you going to do it? How am I going to calibrate my TV? Get an iPhone. Now, I'm one of these people. I've been editing videos for a while, and I've seen calibration devices, standalone color calibration devices for monitors in the past. And this is an expensive object that really just does one thing. So to see Apple's consumer version of it, and I don't know how well it's going to work, but it's a curious... it's an interesting angle for individuals who have previously not tweaked their TVs at all. Here's the way it works. You take your phone, you initiate the app, you hold it up to your display with the Apple TV turned on. It will have a little cutout section where you would hold the phone up to. It will use the sensors on the phone in order to read the display itself and make the adjustments necessary without, by the way, needing to dive into the TV's interface, which can be a nightmare and has been in the past, dealing with these TV interfaces. So the actual picture mods are happening on the Apple TV itself. Now, this is not going to be useful to you if you switch to some other input. That's what's a bit odd about it, as opposed to tweaking your TV directly, which would then affect your game consoles and if you happen to have other things plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but either way, it appears to be an improvement. Many people will never, ever calibrate their TVs and find a color balance. And so to get more people involved in that, to see a better picture, I kind of like that. Some people, you go over to your friend's house, they got the thing on blast, vivid mode, full contrast, your retinas are burning.
Isn't that the best though?
Or maybe. That's what they do in the store to try to get you to buy the actual display as well, yeah. Right? But this is just an interesting way that they did it. And I kind of like the space effect. I mean, they made it kind of fun to do it too.
Sure, yeah.
In a way that maybe more people will get involved, as I suggested previously. So yeah, 4K HDR, it looks better in every way. AirPlay got an improvement as well with the HDR functionality. 179, 199, 64 gig or 32 gig, I believe. Oh, by the way, all this stuff, the vast majority of it is available second half of May, and you're ordering at the end of April in most cases. So it's still a an expensive streaming box, but some of those integrations with other Apple products are what makes it special, and I'm happy to see at least a remote improvement over there.
Mm-hmm.
What did they move to? Did they get straight to M1 stuff after that?
I believe it was the iMac.
So they went to the iMac after this, and the iMac is, I mean, it kind of got a wow from me. It had a wow factor to it.
Yes.
And that's just being real.
A new design.
So slim, starting at $1,299. M1 has already crushed the universe as far as laptops are concerned. As far as MacBook Air, I mean, Mo's over there. He's working on a MacBook Air Pro Air. Not Pro. There is no Pro. They call it the Pro, the 13. It's not a real Pro. Anyway, you've been using an M1 mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
They do call it 13.
I believe
Pro.
It was this one.
13 is not a real Pro. Get out of my face with that. I know they call it that.
It's fast though.
Anyway, $999, $1,299, and fast. And then they come with the almost 5K display on the new iMac. Interesting, it's only a 24-inch display, but okay. At 5K or 4.5K is what the actual resolution is. I'm saying that's some tight pixels. I know you're a tight pixel guy, Will.
Sure.
There you go. 4.5K, 24 inches, many colors to choose from. M1 power starting at $1,299. Of course, there's an upgraded model. I guess it's like $1,500. I don't know that they need so many colors here, but again, I don't know. It's choices. The orange and red or orange and pink, they're so close. I'm like, wow.
Right.
That's a lot of selection right there. And then it is stupid crazy slim. I'm talking stupid crazy.
Look at that.
It's like an iPad on a stick. Well, of course it can be an iPad on a stick because the iPad's got the M1 in it now, which we're going to get to in a moment.
Yeah.
I had two coffees today. I might have a third because it seems to be working out so far.
Well, you're just pumped up about this iMac.
You know, I kind of like streaming right after the event because it's fresh.
Sure, yeah.
I kind of like coming on here live. I don't know if the people, I mean, I see people in the chat over here. There's a few people here. I presume they're the same way. You want to kind of talk about it right away
mm-hmm.
as soon as you've seen it. So the iMac was desperately in need of an update. Desperately. One area I'm a little concerned is on sound. You have something that slim, can it really sound as good as the previous model? That said, if somebody can do it, they can probably do it because they somehow made those iPads sound good.
Yes.
So that's
even
one thing.
Even the MacBooks.
Even the MacBooks. It's super slim. They find a way to make it sound good. They put an unusual connector for power. It is a magnetic power cable for some reason. I guess if you kick it, that's kind of cool. I'm going to pull the whole 11.5 millimeter iMac off the table. So there's a magnetic connector there. As far as ports on the unit, it looks like there's a headphone jack there. There's up to 4 Type-C connectors, 2 of which are Thunderbolt capable, which is important, obviously, for us for throughput if we were ever to purchase and use one of these things. I guess we will pick one up, at least for the purpose of a video. They added Touch ID into the keyboard as one of the options for logging in, and that's just up in the top right corner of one of the new keyboard options. Of course, the keyboard's all color matched to the wide variety of colors available on the iMacs themselves. The camera also got a lot of attention, 1080p FaceTime HD camera. Look, the cameras needed work. They still need work on a number of these MacBooks. This looks like, hey, they're paying attention, which is nice. And we're living in a webcam world now.
Yes.
Are we not?
Mm-hmm.
2020, 2021. Living in a webcam world. And so they put a lot of work into it. This reminds me of some of the NVIDIA stuff that they were doing.
It's like layers.
With for both audio and video, trying to make people's streams look better. Well, Apple's doing it too. Tone mapping, highlight detail, noise reduction, image fusion, face detection, auto exposure, auto white balance. And then merging it all together to try to create the optimal video conference, which is ideal to them and to the world right now, having to log in and work in such a fashion, doing a lot through their webcams. Now, they did the same kind of process on the microphones, which they've been claiming studio quality mics for a while. Now, it depends what how you perceive studio quality. I wouldn't use it for this show. However, some of the technology they've shown off in the past with the MacBook studio quality mics, or was it the iPad? No, MacBook, which I've heard, it's pretty good for what it is. So they have focused on the audio performance and the camera performance, and I think it makes sense on an iMac to do such a thing.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to mention? With this M1 stuff, there's greater uniformity across all their products. You start to think, man, it's like, the MacBook is an iPad laying flat with a screen. iPad Pro, I should say. The iPad Pro is the iPad Pro, which is the slimmest, smallest M1 product you can have. The iMac is an iPad on a stand. Mm-hmm. Like, you see how it's all just merged. I don't know what they're going to do with the Pro stuff, if they're going to even bother eventually. But there's a real convergence happening now that Apple's in control of the silicon. So let's just do a quick spec over here just to round it out. 24-inch, 4.5K, 8-core Apple M1 chip, up to 16 gigs of unified memory, up to 2 terabytes of storage, keyboard with Touch ID, as I mentioned, and the new FaceTime HD camera. 256 SSD model is going to be $1,499. 128, I guess, is what you're going to get for $1,299.
For the...
What are you going to get?
Pro?
And $1,699 for the 512 gig version. As far as colors are concerned, let's just make sure we got all of them. Blue, green, pink, silver, yellow, orange, and purple. Now, you tell me, Willie, dude, if you got to pick one of these colors, and I want you to be honest. Don't just try to be the cool guy and pick, like, I don't know, purple.
Vibrant orange? Or yellow?
What are you actually going to put? What are you actually going to put on display in your life if you had to pick one of these up?
The blue looks pretty nice.
Are you telling the truth? If you pull the trigger and you order, are you going to buy the blue?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Willie Do, you heard it here.
Goes with my later case.
And to be fair, they put it at the front, so sure. I think they think they're going to sell a lot of blue as well.
Yeah.
I think they want to see the blue out there in the world. All right, I guess this brings us then, Will, to the iPad Pro?
Yeah.
Are we at the iPad Pro moment? All right, iPad Pro gets M1. Previously had these upgraded mobile names. They're like, let's just call it M1. We want people to view this thing as a computer. It is as capable as the MacBooks, obviously different operating system, but it is as capable from a hardware perspective. Let's just call it what it is. Let's just slap an M1 in there. So the iPad Pro is now sets itself apart from the rest of the iPad lineup far more significantly. They added Thunderbolt to it. Big deal for myself. Big. I mean, I'm a Thunderbolt fan. Mega throughput. And if they really truly want people to use this as an editing tool, as a production tool, that throughput was key to get that Thunderbolt on there for the transferring of large file sizes. Maybe it's raw images. Maybe it's video files. The display also went into mini LED. This is a huge improvement, all right? This technology with local dimming, it's going to give us a far better contrast ratio, something more similar to like an OLED-style experience. All right, that's a bonus. And it's a huge improvement when they actually said the number of LEDs compared to the previous model. And you actually saw the demonstration of what that's going to mean for the content that you're watching. We know it's going to be faster. We know it's going to have faster graphics. They had people on there from LumaFusion. They had people on there from Adobe talking about Photoshop, showing all the extra capabilities now that you got this horsepower. Liquid Retina XDR display, best and brightest, they're saying 1,000 nits of full screen brightness and 1,600 nits of peak brightness. That's a 12.9-inch model. They will still do an 11-inch model as well. they talked about their very own cameras and actually demonstrated a front-facing camera feature similar to a little robot AI camera that we featured recently, which will actually, I think they called it Center Stage, it will actually track you in a video conference around a particular space by zooming into a certain section. Of course, that's going to be using a crop in order to achieve that. 5G is now on board. You kind of saw this coming. I mean, the phones have it. And this is one advantage, I suppose, that those iPads are going to have over the MacBook types. Now, when you're doing that MacBook Air to iPad Pro comparison that so many people ask me about, you're going to say, well, do you need to be always connected? Do you hate having to tether or create a hotspot of sorts? If so, maybe you want to gravitate now towards the iPad Pro because it has the 5G built in and we all know the capabilities and the bandwidth that exists over there. Of course, Wi-Fi 6 is on board. The cameras that I mentioned previously, they said huge improvements, particularly on the ultra-wide. Here's the Center Stage functionality that I had mentioned. It will track you around the room through a crop. Still fun for people. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of those things that, as far as the modern world is concerned, this is the future we're living in.
Yes.
Everyone's got to upgrade their streams because they're stepping out of frame.
Yeah.
And they're in the kitchen, and they're very happy and good-looking, like those people up there. Just like you, us, Willie, dude. That could have been us, and people wouldn't have noticed the difference.
It's a great time.
We can chop cauliflower.
Sure, yeah.
I mean,
it's orange.
I mean, I got a shirt that's that color. I can pull it off, right? Yeah, no? Sure. Come on.
Go for it.
120 hertz ProMotion. Maybe click the tech specs so we can round it out for the iPad Pro. M1 is the biggest news by far. So 11-inch, 12.9. Oh, yes. Available with storage now up to 2 terabytes. Big time local storage. The target here is the pro photographer. They're now moving huge raw information off of a camera onto an iPad. They have Thunderbolt to work with. So it's fast, and now it's like, well, how many images can I store and have at my disposal immediately? Up to 2 terabytes. If you want to pay for it, I don't even want to look at that price. I'm sure you're going to click it in a moment here. 11-inch is 1.03 pounds for the Wi-Fi model, 1.5 pounds for the 12.9-inch, and then it goes up ever so slightly, 0.1 pound if you want to add the cellular 5G capable. Buttons and connectors. It's a similar layout. You have 3 microphones. The speaker setup I've already talked about in the past. Type C, thank God. Thunderbolt 4, 20 watt USB Type C charging. Let's see pixel density. 264 ppi on the big model and 264 ppi on the small model. Of course, you have more pixels on the big model, however. And 600 nits of max brightness on both, although the you get slightly more specific on the 12.9-inch, suggesting 1600 nits peak brightness HDR. So not a 1-to-1 display and a 1,000,000-to-1 contrast ratio. Not the same display technology in both of these devices. The 12.9 has gotten some extra attention. The M1 chip has an 8-core CPU and 8-core GPU. Obviously, this is well known at this point. Can we view the pricing? Do we dare look at the pricing here? Oh my goodness. What are they? They want us to pay monthly. That should scare you on its own.
Finance it.
From $799 for the 11-inch and from $1099. Oh yeah, okay. So the XDR aspect is only for the 12.9 and it's from $1099. Now let's see the max price 12.9-inch that we can rig up for ourselves. Yeah, put a 2TB on it. It's no big deal. With the cellular, because we want to find a $2,400 iPad. Woo! Woo-hoo! Ah! Don't lose that. You better put an AirTag on that one.
Yeah, just slap it on the back.
You don't need it because you had to find my stuff. You're in the ecosystem. If you're dropping $2,400 on an iPad Pro, you're deep in the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. Now, this one is the same thing for availability, end of the month, right? And then when do they say you can expect it? Midway through May, same thing? I don't know. I presume, if I recall correctly, it was around that. I think you probably got to go back to the top to get that info. There we go. Order 430. So order on the 30th of April and available in the second half of May. So what can we say? A lot happened. We were there. Tim was there. And we got to both enjoy the production aspect, the Hollywood aspect of Apple's event on April 20th.
The tomfoolery.
The tomfoolery and the Tom Cruisery.
Sure.
As far as coming through the roof and all the rest of it looking for an M1. Apple knows its customer at this point. They're becoming content geniuses, what they're putting together at these events. They're making these events like must-watch stuff for the tech community, and everybody else must be sitting around saying, dear God, what do we got to do? Who do we got to hire? Kind of crew we got to put to? Who we keep these people on staff all the time? We got to pay for a Hollywood production crew. What do? They just chill when we don't have an event? And you know they're going to be able to take all this content, chop it up, and throw it into commercials and let everybody know.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to know about these new iMac.
What are you most excited for to just play around with?
The new remote for the... No, I think to pull that new iMac out of the box, because I've had iMacs over the years.
Yeah, it's the whole experience.
Just to see how that slim little thing on a stand... It's just going to be a bit different. So I would definitely put that at the top. I put the iPad next and then the Apple TV before that. But either way, it's kind of what we expected as far as the event was concerned. Like we got everything that we were expecting to see. No big surprises. But what is it? I mean, Apple has found their groove. They know how to speak to their customer directly. They know how to put on an entertaining show. They know how to make a transition or two. And they know how to make a product or two. And when you put that entire package together, you know what you get to do? You get to charge some money for all that.
Mm-hmm.